All right, guys. Happy Tuesday, September 18th. We actually made it a week past the 6th anniversary of 9/11 without another fake terrorist attack. I don't believe it. All right. Maybe they're afraid. They know the gig's up and people aren't going to buy it. I don't know. Amazing. We're actually living another day on this planet. Another day to be exploited by the big corporations and lied to about the goings-on of our government that they control. Anyway, we've got a great guest coming on after the next break, Al Bielek. Some of you might remember him from the Montauk Project, something which I must admit I'm not entirely familiar with. So it's going to be an education for me as well as I'm sure some of the listeners anyway. So stick around for that. Something very interesting that took place. Now, it was a top secret research project that took place several decades ago, and he happened to have been there on the scene, so he can relate firsthand information on this. Something you're going to want to check out, guys. Very interesting. Anyway, before we go to that break, before I bring him on, just a couple quick reminders, guys. If anybody has any comments or questions, suggestions, positive, negative, you know, you got future guests you'd like to have on, topics you'd like to see discussed, you can email me at truthhurtsradio@aol.com. Hurts, of course, is spelled H-E-R-T-Z. Like that little play on words there. But, yeah, sure like to hear from you. I like to get new ideas. Especially if you have actual contact information or a website or something of somebody you'd like to have on. But, you know, I'm always looking for new, interesting guests. I got some really great guests coming on. I've got lined up in the coming weeks. Covering a variety of different subjects. You know, I don't like to just talk about politics because, first of all, it's just too blooming depressing. But also, there's far more fascinating things in life I'd rather occupy my time with than studying mass murdering, lying, thievish pigs. The only reason I talk about them is because we need to know what's going on. Because we're not getting this information, obviously, from our lying mainstream media. But I much prefer to be talking about, you know, things pertaining to science and the fascinating realm of the natural world. The natural world is far more interesting than anything man can conjure up, corrupt or otherwise. So, in fact, along that line, I've got some scientists coming up in the coming weeks. I won't spill the beans yet. I'll keep you on the edge of your seats, but just absolutely fascinating stuff. I'll give you one hint. Got some people coming from the from JPL, Jet Propulsion Lab in California. They're the ones that handle the planetary exploration spacecraft. Thought that'd be kind of neat to get firsthand perspective on that. If my life played out differently, that's something I would have liked to have done, become a planetary physicist, and be right there on the scenes as the images are coming in from the various spacecraft, analyzing them and theorizing as to, you know, what the nature is of the various landforms that we see. I tell you, every single planet and moon that we have seen close up from planetary exploration is just, every one of them is totally different, totally bizarre, and they just defy explanation, just the strangest landscapes. This latest close encounter of last week with Saturn's moon Iapetus is just mind-blowing. Scientists are at a loss to explain what they're seeing. Anyway, guys, short break. Stick with us. We'll be right back with Al Bielek.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey guys, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. And we're now joined by our guest, Al Bielek of Montauk Project fame, here to talk about that bizarre, to say the least, incident, experiment. And like I said, I really don't know a whole lot about it, so this is going to be an education for me, for sure. Very interested to hear about this. What little I do know about it, it just seems very interesting, and I always like to bring my listeners, a new topic, something refreshing, something different, something interesting and enlightening. So here we are. Welcome to the show, Mr. Bielek.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, glad to have you. Why don't you give us a little background of yourself, what it is you actually did. Was it the Navy that you were in? Or?
Yes, it was a Navy operation, a Navy experiment. My brother and I were both involved in it. And at that time, I was not under my my current family name, which is Bielek, Al Bielek. I'll explain later on. My original family name was Edwin A. Cameron, as well as my brother. My brother retains the name Cameron. I do not, because of certain things that happened in the 50s where the Navy wanted to get rid of me, but they couldn't do it the easy way by killing me. The experiment started back based on ideas of Nikola Tesla. Now, Tesla's history is rather, shall we say, strange. It's rather long and laid out. I will not go into his early history. He was born in Yugoslavia, at that time Serbia. came to the U.S. as an immigrant, having worked at the Edison Works in Paris, France, in the 1880s. And he came over with a letter of introduction. He went straight to Thomas Edison. And
a definite genius.
I'm sorry?
He was a definite genius, way ahead of his time.
Oh, yeah. And Edison says, well, said, I'm looking for good engineers. I'd like to have you come on board, start tomorrow at 7 a.m. He worked with Mr. Edison for about 6 months, and there were so many disagreements, violent disagreements, between, in theory, between Tesla and Edison, Edison being a man who was self-made, experimental type for doing things. After all, they invented the light bulb and a few other things. And Tesla had his own ideas, and finally they separated. Tesla went back to ditch digging in New York. As a laboratory, Tesla was in New York, and the Edison laboratory was in New Jersey. And eventually along came somebody who heard about Tesla, namely George Westinghouse. And he says, I'd like you to go to work for me. I've got some problems in my railroad rolling stock and all of that. I believe you can help me. And so he went to work for Westinghouse. I was working with Westinghouse for quite some time after that. Well, to shorten this up, Tesla was invited to go to work for the Department of the Navy in World War One, and the man who invited him was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was then Under Secretary of the Navy. And during that time period, he did a lot of research work. He did some experimental work, which proved to be very valuable. One of the things he did, which was held under wraps, under classified wraps for many years, but it was much later released, was his telephone, or what you would call today a telephone, or a radio-type system for communicating directly from Long Island to Europe by a radio link without static. That was totally unheard of at that time. He used a ground current-type system, and one would have to spend a lot of time going into that, but it was highly successful. It was classified. And many years later, in the 50s, I believe, if the information came out, because the patents eventually ran out. So Tesla stayed in New York. He was known, of course, to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, our 32nd president. And when he became, that is, Roosevelt became the 32nd president, he invited his old friend Tesla to Washington for a little luncheon, or whatever you want to call it. He said, my old friend Tesla, what are you being up to? What are you doing these days? And so forth. Well, he told Roosevelt about some of his latest experimental ideas, namely, how can you make an object invisible? Now, that's been, of course, parlor talk, if you will, among scientists for quite some period of time. And, yeah, how do you do it? There are some aspects of chemistry which show that you can theoretically do it. But he talked to President Roosevelt about this, and he says, this is what I have in mind, and so forth. And he says, I think it would be of interest to the military. And Roosevelt said, I'm quite sure it will. He says, I have connections with the Navy, and I'll see that you get some research money to go ahead and start your project. So he got the money to go ahead and start the project. Of course, so I expect regular reports and so on. Well, he had been up at the University of Chicago doing other things. So he moved back to New Jersey, at a laboratory in New Jersey, as well as New York. And he started his work on it. And at first he didn't really get much of anywhere in terms of what would appear to be experimental results. But along about 1940, they had a first experimental test in a laboratory, and then they had an experimental test on board a ship in the Brooklyn Navy Yard to see if the system would work. It worked partially, but it was not, shall we say, a finished item at that point.
You know, if I could just interrupt for a second, you know, for anyone who thinks that this is, you know, way out there and beyond the realm of possibility, let me remind you, we have stealth technology now.
Oh, yes.
Which we've had for a while, of course.
Originally.
Yeah, right. It grew out of that. And all it is making airplanes invisible to radar. Well, it's very simple technology, actually. It's common sense. Radar has a certain wavelength, and all you have to do is construct a craft, which is just what they did, that bounces the radio waves back, or I should say, no, what, does it absorb them or bounce them? It absorbs them, I believe.
Absorbs them.
Right, yeah. If it bounced it back, then they would see it. Yeah, it absorbs them, so it doesn't bounce back. So it looks like it's just empty air.
Right.
And so it looks invisible. It's not, of course. But that's the principle behind you use the same technology with visible light. I have to point this out, too. 4 years ago in Japan, the University of Tokyo developed an invisibility cloak, believe it or not. This was covered in USA Today. I actually have the article here with a picture. It shows one of the students wearing this green cloak, and that's the only reason you can see it. You can see that it has a greenish tint to it, and you can see like the wrinkles in the coat. But other than that, you can actually see people standing behind him. And the way it works, you're not really seeing through the guy like an X-ray. You're seeing around him. The cloak is made of the special optical material that gathers light from behind the person and bends it around the front of him, so it looks like you're seeing through him. You're just seeing around him. But I just wanted to bring that into this so that people can see that this is something that is well within the realm of possibility today. In fact, I'd venture to say that
has a long history.
Right, exactly. They're way ahead of the game than what they want us to know. But please, by all means, continue. I didn't mean to.
Yeah. That story about the Japanese demonstration, I remember reading about many years ago in the magazines that was published and was proven to be a fact. It's one of the things they do. The systems now are so far advanced that they can make an airplane quite invisible not only to radar but invisible to sight, ordinary visual sight. And they had a first public test of this invisible aircraft thing in 1955. In 1955, I was working for the Navy Department in Hawaii, and one day I got a call from one of the radio stations. What do you know about these calls we're getting about invisible planes? I said, well, just what do you mean? So people report seeing flights of aircraft going into a cloud bank, and they're never seen to come out, but they're heard as they come out. I said, oh, that's simple. It's part of the original invisibility project by Tesla, in which they have made it possible to make a complete aircraft invisible. They fly into the cloud bank, turn the system on, and they come out, and they're not visible. And I said, well, thank you very much. And I asked him, how'd you get my name? He says, we have our ways. The guy was very nice about it. I gave him the information he wanted. And, of course, the systems have progressed from that point on. We now have them where you can make an entire aircraft carrier invisible. And not just
wow.
And the Navy, of course, has gone. It's gone through many areas of change, of modification, and so forth.
You're talking invisible in invisible light, visible wavelengths.
I'm sorry?
You're talking to make it invisible with visible wavelengths.
Right.
Wow.
And you can do it now for a complete ship. The first, to go back a bit here, the famous or infamous Philadelphia experiment, which was a complete disaster because they did not follow Tesla's notes. They did not follow Tesla's dictum about how to do it, namely to build an electronic field around the ship, which was in the shape of an egg. The field was in the shape of an egg. They didn't do that. The Navy kept saying, it's a war on. We need something fast. Well, Tesla compromised himself and his notes and changed to building a machine which had electromagnetic field radiation around it. The whole ship would be surrounded by an electromagnetic field, but it had
We got to go to a quick break. Hold that thought, and we'll pick it up from there when we get back. Stick with us, folks.
We're on fire, let it burn. And from the ashes, we can build another day. Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hey guys, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. We have Al Bielek on the line, talking about the Montauk Project. Very interesting stuff. Before the break, you were talking about Tesla's idea of using electromagnetic radiation to create an electromagnetic field around ships to make them invisible. You want to pick up from there?
Yes. The project was somewhat diverted because the pressure of the war and the Navy wanted results, so he compromised the program with his own notes. It shows that much later, because he wanted to have a egg-shaped field around the ship, which would be impenetrable, whereas the way it was done, it left a field around the ship where there was a hole in the top and the bottom where anything could penetrate, and it did. That was a fatal flaw, which found out on 4 August 1943, a most famous or infamous date of the final test aboard the ship, which was called the Eldridge. It was not the Eldridge, but that doesn't matter. The ship was put in test, and everything went wrong. The ship disappeared. It finally came back. It had traveled through time, through hyperspace, and the man who had already taken over the project, Dr. John von Neumann, had a pretty good idea of what was going on, and eventually reviewed Tesla's original notes and found out what Tesla originally proposed, and that without getting into the physics of this thing, because it's far more involved than anyone could possibly imagine. It would far more involved than it would even teach in the textbooks today. But the experiment was a failure. When the ship came back, there were sailors literally stuck in the steel decks and the steel walls and steel bulkheads, and the Navy didn't know what to do. And of course, a number of them also sailors had jumped overboard and given the impression of having gone crazy. They declared that with one more test, which was even worse, they declared the thing a failure and scrapped it. And to this day, the Navy denies there ever was a Philadelphia experiment, because they had a very serious problem. What do you tell the parents of the sailors who disappeared into the steel decks, or didn't disappear into them, but were quite visible, but were lodged in the steel, dying very painfully? There was nothing they could do for them. The Navy had a real problem. How do you tell the parents about what happened to their kids in this experiment? Their answer was to deny that the experiment ever happened. And to this day, the official line of the Navy is the Philadelphia experiment test never took part. It has never happened. It sure as blazes did. As, Duncan and I were on board, we saw the problems. We had to try and confront them. And eventually, they just announced to everybody it never happened. That was their way of trying to cover up. It was much, much more involved than that, but nevertheless, that was the final line by the Navy. And the whole thing was swept under the rug until the war was over. Then they came back to Dr. John von Neumann, who had substituted on the experiment after Tesla walked out, because they wanted him to try and make a battleship invisible. He says, we can't do that with the current system. He said, it'll take too much power, and it'll wind up killing sailors, and I will not be responsible. So he walked off the project. Von Neumann took over during the war years, and after the war was over, the Navy came to von Neumann and says, we'd like you to go back and reexamine this whole business of the Philadelphia experiment. What happened? See if you can find out what happened, what went wrong, and is anything salvageable? So he gave it, and he said, there's not a war on, so take your time, whatever time you need. Dr. von Neumann did do this. He went back, he went to Tesla's original notes and found out what substitutions have been made. He says, I will propose a retest with a new system, and one other thing we need in here was a computer. Now, it's a matter of history that Dr. John von Neumann is listed historically as the father of the modern computer. About 1951, he was working out at Princeton, and he came up with a computer system. It was not solid state, and we didn't have any of that, barely then. It was all vacuum tubes. Nevertheless, the pictures exist in the archives of Dr. John von Neumann and his assistant rolling out a vacuum tube type computer, which was a digital computer, not the earlier version of analog types. And the pictures exist of the historical presentation. There is the original one still in the archives, I think down in, I've forgotten exactly what the location of the original working model was. But from that, they went to newer models, and he had to incorporate a computer into the new system for invisibility.
Now, excuse me, did this involve radioactive materials?
No, did not. Tesla wouldn't have anything to do with it, and von Neumann knew better. This was not anything involving radioactive materials. It had to be a better understanding of the physics of our universe than is ever taught in any of the schools to this day. Tesla knew that. Go to John von Neumann.
But, very interesting. We're obviously dealing here with, technology that they're definitely suppressing, keeping from us. More to come, folks. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
Okay, guys. Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. Al Bielek is on, telling us about the famous Montauk Project. Really interesting stuff. We're obviously dealing here with a technology that's been around for decades. I'm sure by now, if not then, they certainly have mastered this. And are probably engaging in things that we just have no idea about. So you say this didn't involve, this invisibility project, didn't involve anything nuclear or you know, anything serious, anything harmful. But yet, people were hurt during this experiment?
I'm sorry, what?
People were hurt, though, during this experiment?
There were people who were killed, yes, and buried in the steel decks. Yeah, the physics that is taught today in the textbooks does not give credence to all of the fields which surround Earth. We have, and we've taught about the electromagnetic fields, that's the interaction of magnetic fields and electric fields. We're not taught much of anything about gravity, and really stated as a force field. It is a field which surrounds the planet Earth. It is not something which is inherent with the matter itself. That's error number one. And you go beyond that, you have a time field which exists throughout space and is manipulable. It is something which you can use for travel. That has been found out in part because of the result of the Philadelphia experiment, but also because of a lot of other experimental work that has been done since then. And, of course, Neumann was involved with that also.
Let me ask you, this might be getting a little off the track, but do you know anything about applications of this for weather modification technology?
No. For weather modification technology, that originally came out of Alaska and a particular researcher up there, and much more has been done since the days of the young man up there whose father was a senator. And I can only say that the research has gone onward, and there is massive means today for weather modification. And in my view, a lot of it has been done. You know, I don't want to get into an argument over this or a discussion,
right,
because I do not have enough background
all of the data. Yeah, sure. I don't think anybody does.
No, probably not. It's all classified.
But it's obvious that there's all kinds of applications to this type of thing, and yeah, it's all being suppressed.
By the way, you mentioned Montauk Project. That was a follow-on project. That was not the original name for the Philadelphia Experiment or the any of the other work connected therewith. The Montauk Project is separate, and that existed on Long Island. That was part of that also, and that involved research, time research. It involved developing wormholes where you could travel across space and time to the other side of the universe in a matter of a few seconds. And advanced stuff like most people would never believe, and much less most scientists. But it was there, it was worked, and it was proven to work. And it also involved some of the earliest developmental work involved aliens. You know, that's a whole other story we don't want to get into right now because we go on for hours. But the alien intervention here on this planet has been enormous. Our government has used a lot of it. And they have given us materials. And the atomic chart, just for an example, the atomic chart consists of elements 1 through 140, not 16, up through 140. And 140 is carbonite, is twice the mass of gold. I've had the stuff in my hands. And
what color is it?
Phil Schneider used to talk and lecture on this. He was eventually eliminated because he was a thorn in the side of the government in many respects.
Was the material mildly radioactive or anything? Or?
No, it's not radioactive. Uranium and the uranium series are. Radium, uranium, and so forth. But information I had was that if you go beyond element 140, it's unstable, and it would not be stable here on this planet. We don't have a gravity field strong enough to sustain some of these much heavier elements. The sources of information said there are much heavier elements that exist out there in the universe, and there are much heavier elements which are utilized by some of the aliens, but they have planets where the gravity field is much heavier. So that's another whole ball of wax. And shows, I would say, the amount of ignorance of some of our scientists, and not saying that they're ignorant deliberately, trying to knock them. They simply haven't been given the whole information, and what is available is classified.
So the element that you held, how was it stabilized? Were you in some kind of a chamber?
They're stable up through 140, with the exception of the uranium, transuranium series. Those are radioactive. And in the area around 112 to 116, you have to handle them with a great deal of care because they will cause a great deal of trouble if you don't handle them properly. As anyone has had anything to do with nuclear reactors and nuclear reactor plants knows, and the Chernobyl incident, you don't violate the rules of how to handle these materials because at the touch of a drop of a hat or the touch of a feather, they can go highly radioactive and cause a mess like they had in Chernobyl. Now, all of the nuclear engineers in the U.S., as I know one of them personally, go through some very rigid schooling, and he says as long as you stay within the box, as they call it, of parameters outlined for nuclear material, and the way to handle it, you're safe, you're okay, and there's not going to be an incident. But sometimes things get out of hand. They had that incident years ago up in Pennsylvania, Three Mile Island incident. We don't need to go into that, but that's a whole other subject. And it's rather well understood and well under control. You have to follow the rules, however, if you're going to build or operate a nuclear plant. The rules are very well laid out. They're very well understood. If you stay within the box and stay within the rules, there's no problem. They did not in Chernobyl. That's what the American teams were called in later found out. They had one or two nuclear engineers that didn't understand exactly what they were doing and caused a massive incident that made an area of over 1,000 square miles radioactive. So that's another story. But
so that definitely had nothing to do with Tesla's research.
Yeah. A lot of research has gone forward, and the problems of understanding what was wrong with the early experiments with the Philadelphia experiment was that their notes were not, when Neumann found out that Tesla's notes were not followed. And when you followed the rules that he laid down, everything worked fine. They had a test in 1953 on an aircraft carrier with a new and revised system, and fully successful. No problems with personnel walking through walls or disappearing off the ship. The ship, an aircraft carrier, became perfectly invisible and was stably so. So the system was totally revised at that point, and they now have stable systems aboard. Probably, I'll have to say probably because I don't know as a fact, every large ship that we have, military ship, aircraft carrier, or battleship or whatever, and those systems can be turned on or off at will, and the ship can be made completely invisible to anyone peering over the horizon either by radar or direct optical vision. The systems now work quite well, and there are no personnel side effects. The whole gamut of problems they had was very extensive, including the problems with the personnel, and that to understand what happened took many scientists being brought into this thing to understand, tried to understand. Eventually they did understand what was going on, and it was not easy at first for them to comprehend some of the factors of the physics of our reality, because it is not as simply explained as has been in the past in the textbooks, which took a very concrete view of things, but also a very shallow and narrow view. They did not know all the facts. Now that we know the facts, we can build invisibility systems which work. So
this might be outside your experience or your research or whatever, but Do you have at least suspicions that the fate of flight TWA flight 800 back in 96 may have had something to do with one of these experiments?
Oh, flight 800 when?
Back in 1996, remember off the coast of Long Island.
Off Long Island.
Yeah.
No, that all the information I have indicates that Flight 800 was shot down by one of our missiles that went out of control.
Okay, so there was no experiment involved there.
No. The only experiment at that time that was involved was seeing if you could get complete and accurate control of missiles and other devices within that test field by means of using heavy electromagnetic and electronic systems. Can you keep those missiles under control, or is the electromagnetic radiation, let us say, for example, New York City and its environs, all the electromagnetic radiation, which is common from all the TV and radio, will that interfere sufficiently with the military operations to cause a problem? Well, they found out that it could. That missile was errant, and it took out Flight 800. That was swept under the rug later. I saw some of the pictures. In fact, they were published rather widely at the time of the remains of Flight 800 after they got it on the ground. And it was, you could tell not only would it have been crumpled by the final crash into the ocean, but that it was the image there and it remained showing that a missile had gone straight through the cabin and left its trail of destruction through the cabin of the aircraft. The aircraft was doomed after that missile went through it. There was no way to control it or salvage it, no matter what the pilots did.
Right. That's so do you see that as just a plain screw-up, or, you know, were they deliberately targeting it for, you know,
no,
practice?
No, they were not deliberately targeting it. It was a screw-up.
And they covered it up, yeah.
Yeah. They simply were testing to find out whether their missiles and whatever would be under control. They found out that they could lose and did lose control of at least one missile.
Yeah.
And it was a screw-up. It was not intended. There's nothing
right.
intentional about it.
All right, so coming back to your involvement. Yeah, I said coming back to, you know, to your involvement in all of this, what exactly was your role? Did you know ahead of time that you were taking part in something like this, or did they just spring it on you guys? Or?
No. Duncan and I graduated both with PhDs in physics, and at the time of our graduation, Father, who was in naval intelligence, went says we wanted us to continue in the family tradition, was the way he put it, of being Navy men. And took us down to 15 Church Street, New York, and got us enlisted in the Navy. And because of the fact we had PhDs, they gave us a Navy rating, which normally is not given to an enlistee. And we were beyond yeoman, we were beyond the normal ranks of personnel in terms of enlistment. And we were sworn into the Navy to become part of some other work, which Father knew all about but didn't tell us at the time. Eventually, we were assigned to the Philadelphia Experiment, both of us, and we became part of that operation. We had no idea in advance what we were getting into or what was being set up for us, but Father had set it all up. He had been involved heavily in bringing some of the German scientists over from the U.S. during the war, prior to the war, and after the war. I only found out later on that one of his, shall we say, his means of access... Literally, he went over through Germany and through Europe and pulled these scientists out to work here on our projects. And right under the noses of the Nazis. The reason he got away with it was a 32-degree Mason.
That always fits in there somewhere.
32-degree Masons in those days had a lot of connections and a lot of power.
I'd argue they still do.
Oh, of course they do.
Yeah.
At one time, they had their world headquarters—not world, but their national headquarters in the U.S. up at a strange little town in New York State called what's it? Not Faro. The name of that town slips me at the moment. But a friend of mine lives up there now. He bought property after his parents died up there. But they used to have their annual meetings up there. For the Masonic Order, for the Eastern Bloc and Eastern Group. They don't anymore. They abandoned that about 1940 sometime and moved back to New York. And oh, the Masons have a lot of connections, and they have a lot of power in the political spectrum,
sure.
shall we say. And I'm not knocking them for it. They have done many good things. Also, some of the Black Masons, if I may use that term, have done things which are perhaps not so good.
Yeah, that's where the problem lies. It's
right.
You know, the...
you have the light side, and you have the dark side. And virtually any organization that achieves that size of power.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and it concentrates at the top. That's where the corruption is.
That's
but
right.
The masses that belong to it are, you know, oblivious to what's going on and
they're
don't share responsibility.
To the level
yeah.
of, 32 or 33 degree Mason. And believe me, the Masonic order rites go far beyond 33. There's actually...
That's what I hear, yeah.
Three tiers, 32, 64, 96. 96 is the top level. There is a world Mason in charge of the Masonic order worldwide. That was published in Life magazine about 10, 15 years ago. I tried to find a copy of that issue and never could. I saw it in a store someplace, and I went back to get it and it was gone. Mm. And didn't realize at the time the importance of what was being said.
Maybe a Mason bought it.
Yeah. Most people have no idea there's a Masonic order ranking above 32.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot of secrets they keep, mostly from their own members, not just the public.
That's very true. That is very true.
Okay, guys, on the short break, stick with us. We'll be right back with Al Bielek.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Your host Charlie Giuliani talking with Al Bielek about some fascinating and highly suppressed technology and experiments for the development of advanced technology that our government is keeping us in the dark about. It's particularly interesting to hear you talk about this because, again, you have a PhD in physics, huh?
Yes, that was under my original family name. I'll have to add a little piece in here. After the war was over, World War II, I was, of course, still in the Navy. I was a career officer. And I was assigned to the Livermore Laboratory, not the Livermore Laboratories, the laboratories are up in New Mexico. And there I met some rather interesting people and had some rather violent arguments with one of them, which resulted in my getting kicked out of the laboratory. And Navy kept me going on other things. I was in on some other private projects working towards the Navy and the government. And eventually that one was taken over by other people. But then there came the time when the Navy realized in 1953 that I knew too much. I knew where too many of the bodies were buried, so to speak. And the Navy started thinking, they had me reporting into the Pentagon on a regular basis every day. They were trying to think of some way to get rid of me, where they realized and understanding even then the problems revolving around the time field, that the old simple approach of trying to get rid of somebody you don't want, like a two slugs from a 45, may not work with me, because I traveled in time already, and I was a very strange commodity, if you want to put it that way. I had connections through time with various other areas and time loops and what have you. The Navy, shall we say, the higher-ups in the physics departments, understood that they're not going to get rid of me so simply by killing me. They're going to have to do a much more exotic technique. Well, since they had inherited a lot of the technology from Nazi Germany after the war was over, and a lot of it was installed in the Montauk operation in a period from 1970s, 80s on, they also had access to the time travel at any time they wanted. They decided to do a rather different and unique number on me to get rid of me. They were going to, and they did do it, send me back in time to a family picked out in the past for me to be not quite, but essentially reborn. In other words, they age regressed me. That was another one of the technologies which the Germans developed, which we have utilized and has been very thoroughly swept under the rug. You can age regress somebody. You can make them younger. You can make them older. Usually you don't want to make anyone older, but it's theoretically possible. And
interesting stuff. I'll tell you what, again, hold that thought. We've got another break, and stick with us, folks. Be right back with Al Bielek.
With recent